Well, today we're going to jump back into our series through the Bible, titled The Bible, A True Story. We kind of took a little break from it over the past few weeks as I was actually healing up from my back surgery. I'm doing well. But while I was gone, Pastor Craig spoke the first Sunday, and then my wife Stacy spoke last week. And if you missed either of those messages, I would encourage you to go back and to listen or watch them, because they both brought amazing words that were encouraging to our church and to each of us that heard them. And so I encourage you to go back and to check them out. But today we're going to pick back up where I left off when I last spoke in 1 Corinthians. Now, if you remember, 1 Corinthians is another one of Paul's letters to the many churches that he helped plant when he was a missionary. And Paul had been receiving some letters from some of the leaders in Corinth, who were sharing about just the struggles and the challenges that were happening there in that church in Corinth. And so in this letter that Paul writes to the Corinthians, he addresses really just a handful of different topics where he was just kind of seeking to give them some guidance and direction moving forward. And so each week, as we've been in 1 Corinthians, we've kind of been taking a look at some of those different topics that he hit on through the chapters, and looking at the advice that Paul had for them. You may remember the first topic we looked at several weeks ago was on just division in the church, you know, which was really the reality of what was happening because of the different opinions on all of these topics that he talks about. And then the next week, you may remember, we addressed the topic of sexual immorality that had found its way into the church. And then the last time I spoke, the topic we addressed was the topic of eating food sacrificed to idols, which was in reality kind of just translated into those difficult gray area topics that are hard because we don't really see where in the scripture it says specifically this, but we have different opinions and ideas depending on how you look at the scriptures. And so we addressed some of those and talked about it really starts with just love, right? Loving one another. And so those are some of the topics we've covered. But today we're going to look at the next topic that Paul addresses in this letter, which is the topic of gatherings, gathering together as the church. And it's these gatherings that he's talking about that have become what we know as church today, the gathering of God's people. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's where we're going to be this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's actually in chapters 11 through 14 that Paul addresses this topic of what these church gatherings should look like or shouldn't look like in some cases. And in these scriptures, he covers kind of a wide variety of stuff that was happening in the midst of these gatherings. Now, some of the big ones had to do with order in the church. Because apparently these gatherings were becoming a little chaotic, becoming a little crazy. There were people, you know, praying loudly in their spiritual languages over other people who were praying in their spiritual languages. And it was very confusing, especially for non-believers that were showing up here at these gatherings. And there also seemed to be this competitive nature that was rising up in these gatherings. As one person would stand up and share what they felt was a word from the Lord, but then someone else would stand up and speak over them because they wanted to be heard as well. And this problem was really making it difficult for new people to hear or even understand the gospel. There was just this chaos that was happening. And so Paul is wanting to give them some guidance and some direction really on the purpose of why you gather. Why do they do church? What is the point of these gatherings? Because it wasn't to see who was better or who was more righteous. It was about coming together in unity to lift up the name of Christ and to see more people come to know Him. And so we're going to take a look here at chapter 12 and see if there aren't some things that we can learn this morning from Paul's letter here to the Corinthians. If you have your Bible, you can follow along. I'm going to read a nice chunk of Scripture here as we're going to read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 all the way through 27. This is what it says. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were one eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. I'm going to stop there. A lot of stuff in this section of Scripture. And I should have looked this up, I forgot, but I am not going to cover the different gifts today that it talks about here in this section of Scripture. I covered those, I believe it was back in January. If you want to know for sure, I can find that message for you and tell you exactly where it's at if you want to know more about the specific gifts. But there's a lot that we can take from this section of Scripture. And so we're going to kind of look at a few different things this morning. Before we do, I want to just share, I think most of you know my son Toby. He's not in here this morning. He's downstairs in the kindergarten class teaching down there. But if you know him well, you know that he is a huge movie buff, okay? He loves watching movies. He loves to rate them. He loves to rank them. And he can tell you exactly why he's ranked it this way or why he's ranked it that way. And you know, whether it's like Pixar movies or Star Wars movies or Marvel Universe movies, he can tell you which of those is his favorite, you know, which is his least favorite and everywhere in between and why. And he'll give you in-depth details of why if you're willing to listen to him, all right? Now, on the other hand, I can tell you if I liked a movie or if I didn't like a movie. But I'm not real good at ranking movies and telling you, well, because he'll do all the time, hey, how do your movies rank, Dad? What do you think? What's the best Star Wars? What's the worst Star Wars? And I'm like, I don't know. I like most of them. There's some I don't like. There's some I do like. I cannot rank them. And so I can't quite do rankings and things like he does. And part of it is I don't remember half of the movies that I watch anyways. I don't know if that's just old age or what, but that's just not how I work. But I do know when I like a movie. And there is one movie that for the past 9 years has pretty much continued to be probably my favorite movie at the top of my list. And that's the Avengers movie that came out in 2012. Okay? Some of you may have seen that movie. If you haven't and you like fun action, you need to see it. It's one of the greatest movies. Now, if you're not familiar, it's in this movie. It's a story of a group of superheroes that had been brought together to battle this evil force that was basically out to take over the galaxy. All right, not just to take over Earth, no world. This was taking over everything, taking over the galaxy. And so these superheroes were some of the most amazing and powerful heroes in the universe. And they were brought together to defeat the enemy. The only problem was that these superheroes were having a difficult time getting on the same page, right? In the first half of the movie, they were all about themselves. They were focusing on their own desires, their own agendas. There was this prideful struggle, right? I mean, they're superheroes. There was this prideful struggle that was happening amongst these amazing heroes. And there was a huge lack of trust for one another because they weren't really sure about their motives. And as a result, the strength of this group was far less than the sum of its parts. And the villain that they were dealing with in this movie was smart enough to realize this and even anticipated this happening. He actually counted on their pride and lack of unity for him to be able to accomplish his evil plan. And it almost worked, right? He almost won. Sorry to blow the movie for you if you're going to watch it. But he almost won because the Avengers failed to realize that it was going to take them working together to accomplish the goal, each using his or her own strength to be able to defeat this great enemy. And at one point when it looked as though this dream team of heroes had fallen apart and was about to fail, Nick Fury, the one who had brought them all together, he says these words to them. And I'm going to quote the actual words from the movie. He says this: "The idea was to bring together a group of remarkable people. See if they could become something more. See if they could work together when we needed them to fight the battles that we never could." It's a powerful point in the movie. Now, here's the thing. With the exception of that ending phrase, "to fight the battles we never could," the rest of that statement could really describe God's plan for the church, right? But the question is that the church that we're seeing right now in our world? Or are we seeing a church that looks more like the Avengers in the first half of the movie? where we're caught up in our own desires and our own agendas. That's what Paul is seeing here in the church of Corinth. Everyone was doing their own thing. And instead of being a great force for Jesus and his kingdom, they were keeping people from hearing the gospel and actually being drawn to Jesus. But here in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul gives a powerful speech of his own, far greater than Nick Fury's speech, encouraging the church to come together in unity and to be the force that God is calling each of them to be. And so I want to look at a few things this morning that I think we can learn from Paul here in these scriptures about our purpose and desire to gather together as the body of Christ, to gather together as the church. And so let's look at those things. So the first thing I think we need to understand about coming together as the church is this. Number one, if it doesn't point to Jesus, it's pointless, right? If it doesn't point to Jesus, it's pointless. Everything should point to him. As you read through chapters 11 through 14, as I mentioned, that they cover this topic. And so when you look at these chapters, this section here that Paul is addressing gatherings, we get the sense that the church of Corinth was more focused on who had the better gifts or who had the most gifts, the spiritual gifts. And it had become all about the individual person, as if the gifts that they had were because of something they had done. And these spiritual gifts had become points of pride for these people. And the thing we need to understand is that there is no place for personal pride in the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, Paul had already told them, if you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. That's who we boast in. We don't boast in ourselves. We boast in the Lord. Because if what we're doing doesn't point to Jesus, then it's really pointless. Let me read verses 4 through 6 again. This is what it says. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Meaning any gifts that we have come from the Lord. So we can't ever make it about us. That's what was happening here in the church of Corinth. It had become all about the individual. And that's not why we're called to gather together as the body of Christ. We gather together because of Jesus. We gather together to lift up the name of the Lord and to point anything and everything to Him. Anything else is pointless. In the Holman New Testament commentary, Richard Pratt wrote this. If a religious experience... Hello? Don't know what happened there. If a religious experience does not honor Christ as Lord, then it's not from the Spirit, right? The church in Corinth was getting so caught up in who has what gift and which gifts are better that they were missing the entire point of those gifts. These gifts aren't given to us as a point of pride for ourselves to make us think we're something special or to feel that we're more spiritual than others. These gifts are given to us to help point others to Jesus. So as the body of Christ, as we gather together, our desire is to leave anything involving self at the door. And to make sure that our hearts and our desire to seek Jesus and to help point others to Him, that is our motive. Amen? And so first off, if it doesn't point to Jesus, it's pointless. And then secondly, if it doesn't benefit the body, it's not beneficial. In verse 7, it tells us the purpose of spiritual gifts. They are manifestations of the Spirit for the common good, right? So what's the common good? It's the good of others. It's for the good of the body, to lift one another up. In 1 Peter 4, it talks about the fact that each of us should use whatever gift we have. Why? It says to serve one another, to serve others. And then later in 1 Corinthians 14:3, Paul says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people, why? For their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. And then in verse 4, he says, he who prophesies edifies the church. That's the purpose. It's not to say, hey, look, I'm a prophet. Listen to everything I say. No, the purpose of prophecy, which is really just words from the Lord, encouragement from the Lord, it's to lift one another up. So once again, this point of contention in the church of Corinth in regards to spiritual gifts shouldn't be causing division in the church. It should be edifying the church, strengthening, encouraging, and comforting the body. Because when we come together and allow God to impart His spiritual gifts the way that He intended, it will benefit the body of Christ. That's the purpose. You see, we gather together first and foremost to lift up Jesus, to lift up His name. It has to be about Him. But we're also called to love others. And so our gatherings are also about lifting up the body, us, His church, lifting up one another. Paul realized that these gatherings that were happening in Corinth, they weren't benefiting the body of Christ. They were causing chaos and problems. You see, our desire here at Dallas Four Square Church is that this would be a place where people are built up. This would be a place where all are welcome and all are loved. And that this would be a place that truly benefits the body of Christ. That people would be strengthened, that people would be encouraged, that people would be comforted, as Paul talked about. We're not here to judge one another, to point fingers at one another. We're not here to try to make ourselves feel better, right? Oh, well, yeah, at least I'm better than that one, or I'm better than that one, or I'm better than that one, right? We're not here to make ourselves feel better either. We're here to seek Jesus and to lift up the body of Christ. Now, I don't know how many of you actually read my weekly emails and the devotionals that go out each week, but this week, if you read it, you know I cheated a little bit, right? Usually it's my own devotional, but I cheated a little bit. Stacy and I had actually received a little devotional from a family member, and I loved it so much. And when I first heard it, I was like, whoa, that is awesome. That's going to be our devotional this week. I just knew that's going to be our devotional. And so I made it the weekly devotional. And I want to actually just take a moment to read it to you this morning. If you didn't get a chance to read the devotional, here it is. It was actually a devotional by Bob Goff titled, Let Love Be Louder Than Our Opinions. And let me read it to you. It says this. All the people saw this and began to mutter, He has gone to be the guest of a sinner, Luke 19:7. I've made a habit of reaching out to people when they've stepped into some sort of firestorm on the internet. Maybe they caused it, or maybe people came after them for something they said. However it starts, it's rough to get lambasted by people online, regardless of why it happened. I'll see a pastor say something controversial, and instead of adding to all the noise already surrounding the comment, I'll send them a cake pop with no return address. Doesn't matter whether I agree with the person or not. I figure they're having a rough time, and a cake pop makes tough days a little more tolerable. I used to be concerned about being right, but now I just want to be more loving. We'll always disagree with some people, but we'll know we're growing when we're more concerned about the other person than the big disagreement. That's a powerful one, right? That one hits hard. You'll know you're making progress when your love for people overshadows your opinions about them. We have a tendency to huddle up with people who look like us and think like us. It makes sense. People who are like us validate our life choices and worldviews. Here's the problem. We miss out on the beautifully diverse ways people see the world when we only associate with our people. Jesus' tribe was a mix of men, women, fishermen, scholars, and tax collectors. Good guys, bad guys, and undecided. They wouldn't have seen the world the same way, but they all knew love had the last word, and that was enough for them. Next time someone pushes your buttons, send them a cake pop instead of an angry message. They've probably got enough critics out there, and like most of us, they could probably use a little more love than lecture. Let love be louder than your opinions. Now, I love Bob Goff, and I love his heart here in this devotion, because I think this is what the church needs to be more like. This is what the body of Christ needs to be more like. When we gather, we need to be able to put down our differences and just love one another for who God has created each of us to be. We gather to love God and to love people, to lift up His name and to build others up for the benefit of the body. Amen. And then my final point this morning is this, which kind of brings it all together. The body is most effective when it works together. The body of Christ in Corinth was extremely diverse in its makeup. It consisted of Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, rich, poor, slaves, free. In verse 13, Paul emphasizes that what brings the body together isn't where we come from, isn't our past, our nationalities, our sex, our race, any of that stuff. It's that we're baptized into one Spirit and that we become one body. Now, this image that Paul paints in verses 17 through 19, isn't of every part of the body doing the same thing, right? He's not saying, oh, look, all the believers, they do the exact same thing. That's not what he says here. He's talking about where every part of the body contributes together for the same purpose. To see the body of Christ be effective and to see it actually accomplish His will. It's like a symphony. If you've ever been to the symphony, right? Many different instruments bringing their unique sound, right, to the picture to create one beautiful song. As I was studying this message, I read an interesting little kind of observation about two great bands of our times. First, it talked about the Beatles. I'm sure many of you have heard of the band The Beatles out there. If not, then wake up. You're missing something here. The Beatles are arguably one of the most influential rock and roll bands in history. But their career as a band only spanned a little over 8 years, from 1962 to 1970. And that's because in 70, conflicts between them became too much for them to put up with, and they finally broke up as a band. Now, the interesting thing as I read that it talked about was how similar all the Beatles and their gifts were. They all sang and sang well. They all wrote songs. Three out of the four of them played the guitar and played it well. And the question that as I read that they posed in this little observation is, was it the similarities in their gifts that actually caused the problem within their band? And then they went on to talk about another band. They began to compare them to the band U2, which some of you are familiar with, right? Bono and The Edge. Their members have unique and different gifts. Now, they have some abilities, but you can definitely tell who has the greater gifts in specific areas, because as I read, it said no one has ever sung lead on a U2 record except for Bono. No one has ever played lead guitar except for The Edge. No one has played bass except for Adam Clayton. No one has played drums except for Larry Mullen Jr. And as I read about U2, it asked the question, is it a coincidence that they have been together over 40 years? Or is it perhaps their differences coming together and complementing each other that has actually made them a stronger band, a better team, right? It's an interesting thought, and I don't know how that plays in this whole thing, but here's the thing. As a church, we can't all be the head, right? Or we can't all be hands or feet or whatever part that you may feel is more appealing as the body. Because we all have different gifts that we bring to the table. And all those gifts are equally important to the body of Christ. Let me say that again. They are equally important to the body of Christ. And we are more effective as the body of Christ when those different gifts come together for the greater good. You've heard me say time and time again that we were created for relationship, right? And it's that relationship, it's that coming together in unity as the body of Christ that makes us the effective church that He has called us to be. In the movie I talked about earlier, in the movie The Avengers, this amazing group of superheroes were losing when they focused on themselves, when they were focused on their own gifts and their own motives. But when they came together and put their own plans and agendas aside, they became a force to reckon with. Now, I don't want to spoil anything for you, but if you haven't seen the movie, I mean, it is 9 years later, so I think there's some sort of point there where I can kind of blow the ending for you if you haven't watched it at this point. But not really want to spoil anything, but I will tell you that what finally brought this group of heroes together was the death of one of the characters. One of the characters sacrificed his life for the sake of the group. And this is what then brought them together. And one of the things that we have to remember is the key component that makes the church more than just a bunch of talented people. It's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's because of Him and what He did that we're here. It's why we gather. Otherwise, why are we here? If it's not about Jesus, why are we here? We gather because of Him and what He did on the cross for each of us. And so everything we do should point to Him, should point to Jesus. And when we do church that way, when it's all about Him, it benefits the body of Christ. Because as we love Him, we learn to love others. And it enables us not to be just a group of talented people or untalented people, but a people nonetheless who effectively make a difference in the world around us. That's God's desire for our life. And so, as corny as it may be, in the spirit of one of my favorite superheroes, Captain America, let me just say this. Christians, assemble. Let's pray. I told you it was corny. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your sense of humor. But Lord, this is it's a great illustration and example of what You want for Your church, Lord. You have empowered us. You have given us gifts and abilities to help us be the church that you have called us to be. But if we're just focusing on us, if it's about us, then we're not going to be effective in being the lights that you have called us to be. We're not going to be the effective church that you have called us to be, Lord. We want to be the church that you have called us to be. Not just Dallas Four Square Church, but Lord, the church here in our nation, the church here in our world, Lord. We want to be people who come together as the body of the Christ, as the body of Christ, giving our gifts to you, to be used by you, the gifts that you have given us so that we can be the church that you have called us to be. And so, Lord, I thank you for your scripture. I thank you for these letters that Paul wrote. And Lord, it's amazing how we repeat ourselves, Lord. We saw that with the Israelites in the Old Testament, continuing to repeat the failures and then repenting and failing and repenting. And I know over the years we've seen the church, Lord, be the force that you desire it to be, but then get caught up in ourselves and struggle, and we see it go up and down and again and again. And so, Lord, my desire is that we today would be the church that you've called us to be, that we wouldn't be focused on ourselves, our own desires, our own agendas, but that we would seek your will and your way for our lives. That we wouldn't push people away from the gospel, but that people would be drawn to the gospel because of what you're doing in and through us, because of the way we're working together. And so we thank you for your word. We just pray that you continue to encourage us, that you continue to challenge us, that you continue to show us, Lord, how do we bring the different gifts that we have? Because each of them are equally important. We all have something to give. We all have something to bring to the table. Challenge us, encourage us to do it, Lord. We thank you for these things. We thank you for your word. We give them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.